This is The Hardline, the greatest show on earth.
Well, maybe just in St. Louis.
Out of all road, freak show, something to see. Got them lined up and waiting, taking bullets for me. I'm a Mack truck. I'm chucking down a one-way street. You better move, bitch. My tank's on E.
The Hardline with TJ Moe, Cam Jansen, John Hadley, Bob Ramsey, and who the hell else knows?
TJ Moe, Bob Ramsey, Matt Rocchio here live from Maggie O'Brien's down on Market Street in St. Louis, Missouri. This is the go-to place for you and everybody who is trying to go to the game tonight or would like to watch the game tonight. As we always tell you, right down here off of Market Street, you park and they have a shuttle going back and forth from here to Enterprise Center. You guys park here. Get here early, get yourself some drink, get yourself some really good food, and then head on down to Enterprise Center. They will take care of that transportation for you. That would be my recommendation to you, Bob Ramsey.
2 more hours, people. Get down here and get
Rammer,
signed
by the
up.
Way, but
free
it,
tickets.
How are it's you? Nice for you to show up after what you – the disgraceful dodging of your own comments yesterday.
Well, I thought I took the appropriate firing squad when I mea culpa'd in the Twitterverse, but there is no question I went 100% coward yesterday. There is no doubt I was the guy that left my buddies on the front line and went back for coffee.
It's okay.
All these Blues fans were like, wow, how convenient. You know, the 5-9 is going to be on remote with free tickets. Bob saw that and thought, how convenient we're going to be on remote.
So what I did yesterday, and I thought it was well done.
Okay.
I'm going to go through your emotional process because you put it out publicly.
But TJ, in the world of media that's instant, what's going on right now, don't you think this is old news?
Not at all, because the Blues hadn't played again yet. So last time the Blues played, thoughts of Bob Elmer Ramsey.
Well, I just hate to think that we're not up to date, staying right on the cutting edge of what's news and what's not news.
Well, we will get to that as soon as we get done making fun of you. So here we are.
Okay. See, now it's not fake news. We get right to the heart of the matter.
Bob Ramsey, May 14th, that was, I suppose it was actually the 13th that that happened, yes? Did Edmondson learn nothing from Saturday? And this wasn't just a question mark. It was a question mark, exclamation point. You were yelling at this point.
And why?
Sorry. That's now benchable. Your first touch.
Do you remember?
Yes, I do.
His very first touch of the game after all we've been through for over a month.
Yep.
You turned it over.
That's right.
Aren't you thinking, okay, here's the one thing I'm doing tonight. I'm not turning the puck over in my zone.
Well,
that's the one thing I'm not doing.
You kept a ledger, so let's just move on to the next one. Defensive giveaway number two. This time, Parayko. Jeez, just clean up that part of your game and life will be a lot easier. So you haven't given up yet. At this point, you're saying, hey, I'm just giving nice advice. If you idiots will get on Twitter between shifts, I can fix everything.
Or, now tell me, of those 2 points, rather than being emotional.
There were exclamation points. There was emotion involved. These weren't statements.
Maybe just emphasis.
Yeah. I mean, you didn't go all caps.
No.
Which I think is very professional of you.
Semi.
But you were darn close. All right, so.
But they were true, right? True observations.
Absolutely
okay.
Right.
All
so
right.
So here's where you're starting to jump off of the boat and swim to shore.
That remains to be seen.
You even used the Canadian spelling of defenseman to show how serious you were.
I want credit for that. So I'm going to be discredited here as we move on. I do want credit for that. Rock, can I get a decision over there?
That to me is the absolute funniest part about this entire thing.
He
randomly broke out the C in defense.
Hey, boys, I speak Canadian.
We're not even playing a Canadian team.
Do me a favor, F-A-V-O-U-R. Blues defensemen with a C absolutely suck. Exclamation point, And then you had to make sure everybody knew through 25 minutes because you're not done yet and you're paying attention.
Well, and I wanted to be anchored. At that point, I didn't think they sucked as human beings. I didn't think they sucked necessarily through the entire season.
You didn't clarify about the human beings part.
Here's the thing,
just said through 25 minutes.
I see the through 23.
Good point, and I'll stand by the tweet.
I see the through 25 minutes as the first cracks in the foundation where Bob realized,
okay,
I can't tweet this now, then come back, play really well, and then tomorrow not have a qualification on my criticisms.
I'm waiting.
Seeing the cracks in the foundation on that tweet.
You're seeing how my warped old brain works.
I kept waiting for you to post the gif of the guy that's always in the Adam Sandler movies and Waterboy saying, "We suck again!"
Yeah, right.
It didn't come, though.
Rob Schneider is.
However, thank you, Rob Schneider. Shortly thereafter, this was just momentarily, game and series over. This time, you have given up all emotion whatsoever. There's no exclamation point. There's no all caps. You didn't even put a period. Don't waste your time. Game and series over. See ya.
And why? What predicated that tweet?
That was the second goal in a minute 59 by, what the heck's his name? I'm blanking.
Couture,
thank you. Who went five hole on Bennington back-to-back. One took one from, thanks, Petro, and the next one a minute 59 later.
As I put myself in the moment, sitting here, but put myself in the moment then, I still think that's the proper tweet. I think here's what happened. I'll tell you what happened. That should have been a correct tweet, but San Jose is not that great.
Oh, okay. You and I are so on the same page here, and I was saying this yesterday to Cam.
At that point, they should have absolutely stomped the Blues, and they let them up off the mat or ice, depending on the sport.
I like it. You and I are so far on the same page, so maybe neither of us know anything about hockey. That could be.
Perhaps.
But you and I said all of this yesterday. However, because the Blues are who they are and what they've overcome, even I saw that live. I said, Bob's fired up. And secondly, I said, I totally disagree. This team has come back from the dead 30 times.
You were less emotional than I was, and you were able to see that.
Well, by that time, I think you were too. No exclamation point. You went exclamation, then exclamation. And you took the Lord's name in vain, and then exclamation. You were fired up.
I have no response.
All right, so.
Your Honor, I plead no contest.
So, we will get to the Sharks thing momentarily. I want to finish out
your
sweet story.
There's more?
Oh, there is more. But this, now you're just taking it all back, mostly. Which, I mean, look, this is the media. If we can't backtrack, what are we doing?
Well, wait a minute. Most fake news, they don't backtrack. They just pretend it never happened.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
At least
that was yesterday. That's what we tried to do at the top.
Yeah, at least I admitted by backtracking that, okay, maybe I was a little rushed to judgment.
I mean, I never saw Megyn Kelly calling sick for work the next day, but no big deal.
Hey, honesty after the fact is still honesty.
Yeah, sort of.
Oh, boy. All right. So, anyway, Blues defenseman having a nice offensive game. Awesome. Is it too much to ask that they consider defending?
What's wrong with that statement?
That's good, and you still went with the C in defenseman. I'm all about it. All right.
So, wait a minute. I'm appropriately going to be ripped as things move on. I think that is dead on.
That is dead on.
They had a great all the defensemen had a great offensive game.
You're still defensively. Doing it. I like it. You're really buying in here.
Yeah.
Yep. So then, this is where everything in your Twitter life collapsed, right? Man, was I wrong about this one. Goes to show you. Parentheses, me, that it doesn't matter how, just get it done. Congrats, boys. And then you followed up with a very happy for Bertuzzo, one of my favorites. For 3 years, I've always wondered why he keeps getting overlooked. That has been true even for the life of this show. You have been all about Robert Bertuzzo.
Yeah, and going back to Hitchcock, when Bertuzzo came on board, I always thought, now, I'm not saying he's a great defenseman. I'm not even saying, you know, he's a top pairing or top two pairing. But I think he has real value to this unit, and I've always thought that. Anybody who's listened to me when I work with Jeff Fornetti, when I worked with Brendan Weese, and then on with you and Cam and Rock and John.
Rarely with John, but go ahead.
Yeah, he's a cameo guy.
This is his seat right here.
Right. He
plays the part that Aaron Rodgers did in the last Game of Thrones episode. He runs by, gets hit with fire, and you never see him again.
And depending on the true inside hockey people that I've brought that point up to over the years, they're all almost on board with the company line of, well, you know, maybe not. I think using the guy properly he is a real asset to the team. I really do think that. And it's not because he scored the winner. It's because I've always thought that.
In my opinion, he is the most physical presence of your pairings. Also, he has probably the lowest offensive ceiling. So, obviously, that doesn't hold true for this last game. But he's very similar to Edmondson, except Edmondson gets a lot more penalties, typically, and can score some goals early on. Obviously, that a lot of that was at the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
But Bertuzza doesn't do what he did too much. I mean, that was like a almost a – that was a given basketball give and go. Hey, right here, bud, in the slot. You rarely – I mean, not that he couldn't do it again. He doesn't do that. He
no.
floats out and waits.
Right. And waits to knock somebody's head off.
Right. Which he did all.
Oh, my God. And that's – and see, that's maybe me being a little bit of a bluesier. I don't go this far, but an example of a bluesier in the stands, no matter what the situation, no matter what, there'll be somebody in your section that out of nowhere screams, hit somebody.
That's shoot
the,
it.
That's the answer to everything.
Yeah.
And I kind of have some tendency – you know, I am from Jeffco.
Yep.
So I live in Jeffco. I get some of those tendencies. But you never have to say that about Bertuzzo. He's right. going to hit somebody.
That's absolutely right. And that's true for
everybody. Willing, and he's willing to back it up any way you want to play it.
Even with
you
the
don't
zone.
Like it? Okay. I'm your Huckleberry.
Yep. Even with Zach Sanford. He's willing to back it up. And I still contend that that was the turning point of the season.
I was going to say there are many people who feel that way. I don't know. But sometimes if somebody's not doing something the way you think it ought to be done, You gotta somebody needs to step up. And
Sanford started that, by the way. And Bertuzzo said, enough of this, and we suck. Bring your jaw over here. And he punched him a few times.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to our point of
– ripping me.
Yes. Well, we're done with that. So.
Oh, thank goodness.
So you took it like a man.
I'll
well
give
done.
Him some credit and rip me, which is, to his Huckleberry comment, I think Tombstone's the best movie I have yet to see. And I haven't seen it yet. But it's. I think I need to because here's, that movie's supposed to be amazing.
Here's what's weird. I don't think it's amazing.
Oh, really?
The story of the Earps, Doc Holliday, here's what's weird. I consider myself, I'm not saying it's accurate. I'm just, that's why I take my words specifically. I consider myself an Old West aficionado.
I've noticed.
In particular, as it turns out, the Earp Holliday saga. That's been filmed, what, at least a half a dozen times, probably more. And almost every one of the movies has some merit, real merit. I think Tombstone is half great and half of it just okay. The more I've probably seen it 10 times, it seems like the more I watch it, the more I like it.
The more I just want to see more things that have Sam Elliott. I feel like he hasn't been on him. He hasn't been on my screen enough in my lifetime,
yeah.
And so I need to watch more Sam Elliott.
Here's what I would do, though: if you don't want to do it all in a row because it's basically the same story, but maybe one time a month, go back and watch in this order. It's chronologically, for sure. These four: My Darling Clementine from the '40s with the great Hank Fonda as Wyatt Earp. Then you go to late '50s. Gunfight at the OK Corral with Kirk Douglas plays Holiday. It's is it Burt Lane? Yeah, it's Burt Lancaster.
You can pause. We have trained the audience with
Burt
John.
That's just my memory. Burt Lancaster as Earp and Kirk Douglas, a marvelous Doc Holliday. And then I think for comparison, I'm going to give you two modern ones that were made at basically. That were made at basically the same time, Costner's Wyatt Earp, which is not as good as Tombstone, and Tombstone. So there's five. Kind of do them one a month in order, and then you can see. You can see that whole deal. I think that would be a nice summer homework assignment
for
you.
I'm going to have to do this. Yeah, I'm going to have to line these up.
Rock has a lot of spare time because
– I do.
Well, I won't go there. All right, so why –
I do, and I happen to – I kind of watch movies in this way already where I find, like, a genre, and then I catch all these things that are, like, the classics, and I watch them, like, in a row.
The Earp saga is almost its own genre, like a subgenre of a Western.
Got to try these
because it's
now.
Been filmed so many times.
We have some text boys. White Collar Gangsta What a horrible intro song.
Don, for our show?
Don, yes. Welcome to the greatest show on
Earth. Oh, I like that. So I wasn't really that fan, and I like What's-His-Name. Not that much, obviously. But I think it's good. I like it. I disagree.
Don Jewish. Rammer is one of the bigger Seinfeld fans around. He should know better than to throw around exclamation points. Hopefully, there were no double exclamation points.
What is it? Top of the morning to you. Yes. Yes, it is. And scene.
Rob Dibble's butt tattoo. TJ, I'm pretty sure John Moore resembles the Starbucks cup on Game of Thrones. Sits there and really brings nothing to the table.
Sort of a cameo. He's there and he's gone.
Did you see that Aaron Rodgers was in it?
And also,
hold on. Yeah. Aaron Rodgers was actually in the – they showed the part. You wouldn't have recognized him in there.
Right.
He's the guy where they showed from the side, and the dragon came in, and he tried to – as if the fire wasn't going to follow him into the little corridor. And he had about a three-second thing. Imagine, they probably had to fly him to – where did they – it was Ireland.
He had a couple other cuts. He had four other – he had four different appearances throughout the episode.
Is that
he
right?
He was an archer on the walls. That was that one. And there were two other ones where it's not as clear as the archer on the walls and then where he gets burned in the tunnel, but it is Aaron Rodgers.
How fun. Isn't that great?
Shots.
Okay.
So, yeah, they got their worth out of him.
Well, you had a point?
Yeah. Much like the Game of Thrones Cup, also, it generates more like talking points than the rest of the show.
Ooh, that was a direct shot
John
at
does.
Game of Thrones.
Oh, it was also a direct shot at Game of Thrones. It's also true, though. John generates 90% of the text messages when he's here.
That's true, but most of them are saying things like, can we roll you down Market Street we come to Maggie O'Brien's?
And most of the tweets about the Starbucks Cup were about how bad the people were at their job.
Maybe. Hockey Robert, there's an old saying, it's better to not speak and let them think you're a fool than to speak and remove any doubt. That's not an old saying, by the way, and you said it kind of wrong. That's from the Bible. That's not – anyway.
But if it's referencing to my tweets, he's correct.
Yes.
That's probably the first and last time I'll ever say that, Bob, but you're probably correct.
I thought it was Shakespeare.
It's a proverb.
Better people to think you're an idiot than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. I thought
yes.
That was Shakespeare.
No, that is the Bible. It's in Proverbs. Putting one's idiotic – this is Hockey Bob still – putting one's idiotic emotions into words and then letting other folks read them makes all persons who do so seem like four-year-olds throwing a tantrum.
Yes.
Did anybody listen to Hockey Bob on the show yesterday? Let's not discuss four-year-olds throwing a tantrum.
That was pretty embarrassing.
Okay, so you did hear it.
I did hear
Hockey
it.
Hockey Bob – like, that – he's got a lot of bad opinions. That was the worst one by a country mile. Chris Kerber told you the answer. Stop talking about it.
And I would,
what?
And I would never tell anyone to be like me, but I would tell Bob, hey, own it.
Right.
You're wrong. Own it. Move on. If you own it, people will forgive. If you try to defend a stupid position, then it's just people will pile on.
That is
and appropriately so.
Proverbs 17:28 is better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to speak out and remove all doubt.
Even if a fool is thought wise, if he keeps silent and discerning, if he holds his tongue. That's the actual quote from Proverbs 17:28.
Well, I just read the NIV version, but okay.
Right,
anywho, yes, there is a...
So and in the original Aramaic, it says, shut up, fool.
You're an idiot. Stop talking.
They knew how to cut to the point.
I did not realize our text line was quoting Proverbs since I've been on the air.
I love
Shut up, you idiot. So there you go.
That's in the original.
Yes, that's right. My grandfather, a little off, he used to tell me, he said, these radar detectors, we should be able to program them and give them to our children, right? So a cop shows up, you should be able to record and say, slow down, you moron. Tim says, Johnny Ringo, it looks like someone just walked over your grave. What does that mean?
That's a quote from, and again, now all the OK Corral movies are going, I think that's from Tombstone.
Yeah.
Okay.
By the way, in the Western genre, the best role for any actor, and it's been proven, all you have to do is watch him, is the Doc Holliday role. It allows the actor in that character to chew up every bit of scenery around and then, but still look good doing it. It's really an amazing role, and it's the coveted role anytime that movie's been filmed. Victor Mature is Doc Holliday. Kirk Douglas is Doc Holliday. What was the other one? The other two I had five films. What was the other one? Anyway, the two modern ones, Doc Holliday is always the role. Just an aside.
The 636, Bort's always pinches and is in the right spot, just not a great finisher. If he could finish, he would score more, but his instincts are on.
And again, you, the rest of the group almost, I know there's some exceptions, end up being more offensive than defensive. You got to have somebody that says, I accept the defensive role.
I think that's Parayko. I think Parayko is your ultimate defender who is has now began to utilize his slap shot.
He ends up being a top two because the offensive part goes with him being a terrific fundamental defensive
guy. Yes, yes.
And Robert is defense.
Only.
Regardless,
stop right there.
Regardless of the goal he scored to win, which was beautiful and awesome and all that, that's not really him, as you pointed out.
Yeah, he's like
he's that stay-at-home guy that if you come in and he gets a chance, he's going to mess you up.
Yeah, he's like Ray Lewis. If you threw him the ball, he'd be kind of confused about what to do with it, but he will crush you if he needs to.
Yeah.
Tell Eddie George and the Tennessee Titans that one.
Huh?
Tell Eddie George and the Tennessee Titans that one.
I don't remember what play
Ray Lewis rips the ball out of George's hands and runs it back for a touchdown to seal a playoff win.
Yeah, Ray Lewis isn't the best example, but the bottom line is middle linebacker who really is not sure. Why'd you give this to me? I guess I'll run.
Well, maybe I'll just hang on to it while I hit some other guys.
That's right.
God, just, that's 2 days in a row. We gratuitous shots at Andrew Wilson.
Wilson, I don't know that he ever got an interception. I don't believe he did. He was unbelievable at crushing guys and creating fumbles, but I don't believe and we played catch every single day. Every day. We would go home and we'd play catch until it got dark.
So you're saying you're not a great teacher?
I'm saying it's not like osmosis. This is why Nick Saban's
it's
wife.
Not osmosis.
Nick Saban's wife is not a great coach. You can't just be around somebody who is good at something and then become good at something.
Wait a minute. Do we know for sure she's not?
Strong point.
Yeah, okay. I think so.
All right.
I think so.
All things football, I defer to you.
Yeah. Although we can get into this at some point. The NBA has decided moving forward they want half women everything. Half women scouts, half women coaches, half women everything. They said women are just as good as men at everything, so we're going to cut it in half. And I say Adam Silver is a gigantic idiot because it is no longer about merit. It is only about what are you? Good. We'll give you half then.
All right. Let me totally twist this in a weird way and get your guys' reaction. What does the NBA do if you're currently a coach in the NBA at any level, all the way down to the film guys, all you're considered coaching staff, and we get the half-female mandate? At what point, in fact, I think there's nothing they can do about it. All you have to do if you're one of those guys is say, well, I identify as a woman. Now, I am not disrespecting those who really feel that way. That's you. I don't care.
Yeah, you're just wrong,
said TJ. What I'm saying is if we have been told in society that if somebody identifies as something, fill in the blank, we have to respect that. Isn't that what we are being told today?
The NBA.
Rock? Is that right? Mm-hmm. Okay. So to keep my job, all I have to do is say, and I'm not saying it's right, but I'm saying, well, I identify as a woman. Boom, you keep your job.
The NBA is by far the most left-leaning progressive league. It's not close. It is, I mean, way.
Because
close.
They think that's what their players want.
Yes.
It may or may not be true, but they for sure think that.
Well, players have proven to be idiotic marketers. That you are good. It's good if you can market them. Allowing them to market their beliefs has proven to be, as we've seen with Colin Kaepernick and even LeBron James to some degree, like you actually have people tune out when you decide you want to share all of your political beliefs as a player. This is what Matt Walsh, the guy on Twitter, similar to what you just said. This is his tweet that actually got banned from Facebook, that somebody took a screenshot and put it on Facebook and Facebook it up. He said, gender is a social construct, but I'm a woman. Hear me roar. But anyone can be a woman, but no uterus, no opinion. But trans women are women, but I demand women's rights, but men are women. But men are scum, but drag queens are beautiful, but appropriation is evil. Like, there are so many contradictions.
That is so beautiful. I'm getting a little weepy on that. That is is beautiful prose.
And now we're going to pull it on a time when Game of Thrones was actually well written. Jaime Lannister, they tell you you got to make an oath to protect the king, make an oath to protect the poor people. But what happens when the king's killing the poor people? You also have to make an oath to protect your father. What happens when the king's trying to kill your father? Everything's going, like, literally, you're going to get trapped in one way or another. You're going to get turned around. You're going to get screwed over by doing another thing.
Do you remember what we named this?
Liberalism pretzel?
A liberal logic pretzel. That's what this is. Eventually, you're going to tie yourself in a knot.
Can you call it a left logic pretzel, please?
Yeah, you know,
It does ring a little.
We have screwed up. Like, we have taken liberalism and what its true meaning is. Milton Friedman used to talk about this all the time. He's like, what we have told you liberalism is not what it actually is, right? Liberalism in itself, like liberation, right? What it is, but now we've turned it into oftentimes just what we decided a party is. I agree with Rock here. I think that's not exactly
mainly because I think the rhetoric destroys any potential of there being a
of
there being a liberal wing of the Republican Party.
Probably,
which is a benefit to the two-party system overall, is there being
I agree.
Right and left sides of each party.
For the purpose of this show's brain power, parenthetically open to interpretation, rather than say liberal, we should say leftist.
Yes.
Yes, I agree. Totally agree. And I do think there's a big distinction because the Liberal Party existed under Clinton. It hasn't really existed much since. So there you go. The sausage wheelie says Hockey Bob equals Hockey Richard. And then in the parentheses.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah, we get it.
Yeah, we got it.
Rob Dibble's butt tattoo. I'm pretty sure Hockey Boob removes all doubt every time he opens his mouth.
Seems a little harsh, but not inaccurate.
Hipster of Tower Grove.
I was surprised that that quote was being literally like said to me by my mother when I was like 4 years old. And I'm like, what does that mean? She's like, shut up more.
Yeah. Yeah. Hipster of Tower Grove South, there's an old saying, those named Hockey, stop texting before I start to sob. there you go. Altsy says, quoting the Bible isn't the road you want to go down. He quotes 1 Timothy 2:12, I permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man. She must be silent. We don't need to go
Why don't
down.
You want to quote that?
We don't need to go down the where things come from in the Bible and what is what. But Proverbs, as a general rule, go read Proverbs and you will agree with the vast majority of all of it. It's just common wisdom. The angry cabbie, Doc Holliday's Val Kilmer, and possibly Dennis Hopper.
Yeah, Dennis Quaid.
Okay.
Val Kilmer and Denny Quaid were both. Well, they're, like I say, every filming of the OK Corral deal, Doc Holliday's always the best role.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the more recent examples.
Gino Ogic, you will have to forgive Rocchio for not knowing that was in the Bible. He grew up Catholic. They don't actually read the Bible.
Wow. Vicious shot.
I literally read the Bible.
Rock actually read the entire Bible. Although, that is something. I'm surprised you didn't know that about the proverb.
I know that's been around. It's always been presented in a completely different sense. I mean, the way I read the proverb is slightly different. It attests wisdom to being silent. There's no like kind of clever turnabout on the back end of the phrase, and I always heard it either attributed to Lincoln or Shakespeare, again by my mother, who gave me the quote when I was very young.
Yeah, who both read from the Bible to get
yes
that.
She went to my mom, old school Catholic, like went to catechism classes when she was like 12 years old, reading the catechism, which is just like literally the book of saying these are all the rules that we pulled from the Bible. It's wild.
Father White Rammer, the best part about old westerns is when the guy strikes a match in the abandoned mine and it looks like the sun just came up.
Well, the alternative is when you film things day for night, which is just awful. Just an awful thing they've done forever. Lighting is always a problem.
This is a good question for you, Rammer. This is a meme. It says, if a biological female identifies as a male, can he show his nipples on Facebook?
Yes.
Something tells me you were going to say that. Triple Legs Club Pro. We will probably shouldn't read that. Thank you, Rock.
Yeah, back to that previous one.
1 Timothy? Because that's what that was talking about. No, go ahead.
The I don't care what the rules are, so long as we agree to them beforehand and they're applied evenly.
That has not been true.
You're not going to like Game of Thrones.
And that's how we'll end up winning the battle over the leftists.
Wait a second, what?
Well, you're not a leftist, Rock. Right, okay. You're a liberal. Rock is definitively liberal.
The leftist extremists I'm talking about.
Right.
Not liberals or even Democrats. I have friends that are all over the spectrum.
That I think are very smart, a lot of them.
But the leftist extremists I'm talking about.
Which is in Rock. Joe Biden came out against Medicare for All today, or yesterday, whenever it was. He said, I think we should expand Medicare, but a ton of people are happy with their insurance. We're not doing Medicare for All. That's stupid. Like, that is a liberal idea. The leftist has taken over, and it's now common. You know, everybody is saying what AOC and Bernie and all those guys. And so Kamala Harris jumping on, like, everybody. Well, that's not really the party. It just so happens that people thought Bernie was super popular in 16, and so everybody should be like him. That's not the reality. Hillary just sucked.
And it all really goes to ginning up votes.
Right. Absolutely.
Because you can stir emotion, and you think you can stir the emotion to lead to them pulling the lever.
Biden.
Archaic voting reference, lost on younger listeners.
Every politician is this way. I'm citing Biden. Trump is the epitome of this. Take it however you want.
Yeah.
Biden wanted to build a wall back in like 2003. He's actually on tape saying all these things.
Yeah.
He said we needed to. So everybody, Hillary and Obama were both against, as recently as 2012, both against gay marriage, right? That Hillary is on tape saying it's between a man and a woman. Trump is the ultimate. Trump used to be as far left liberal as you come, and then he became a conservative, right? You flip-flop and do whatever it takes to
win.
That's it. That's it. Now, Reagan used to be a liberal. That's a little bit different. Reagan flipped at one point, and then he just kept his popularity. But just as a general rule,
what
do the most people want? That's what I think. That's kind of the truth.
That's what we call populism, TJ.
Yep. That is true at right now for all parties. That is politics, populism. The 314, Donald Trump should announce that he is transgender tomorrow. That's becoming the first female president. Then we could all sit back and watch liberals lose their mind.
Beautiful.
Well,
I love it.
Here's our logic pretzel, right? What's her name? Jessica?
Alba.
No. The white girl who said.
Chastain.
Is that her? Who said she was.
The actress? No.
Whoever it was.
I'm being silly.
The white girl who identified as black. And everybody lost their mind.
Oh, from up in Seattle or wherever. Yeah.
Yeah, man, Chelsea something or Jessica something.
What's her name, Rock?
She was the head of something important. And
the NCAA off?
Rachel Dolezal.
NAACP. Yeah.
So you're like, what's going on? I'm good. Thanks, man.
I completely forgot.
I'm still eating that.
He's going to nibble.
Right, gender works, but not race. We have a lot of rules that we make up as we go along, and then they clash with other rules, and then we eat each other. That's how this works.
Yeah.
Yep.
I hope there's a couple in between those things. But
there's no.
You never know.
It'll probably happen to history pretty quickly over a 50-year period, which is quick.
Yes. By the way, you want to talk about crazy things. We're tying this in with the Bible, and then we're going to go to break. I was reading Judges 19 today, and there is a part where this guy was going to go get his concubine. He had his donkey and whatever. And he went into his city. This is where the Bible gets crazy and inexplicable type of stuff.
Look how you said that after you mentioned the concubine.
That's old king stuff. That's not really biblical. That's like you didn't need religion to have concubines.
No.
Most people had
concubines. Yeah, I'm sorry we lost that. But anyway, go ahead.
So, comes in and then goes into a city. Somebody brings him in, and there's a lot of, really awful guys outside who want to rape the guy. And he says, no, I'll send out my concubine. She sent it out and then raped her to the,
Yeah.
And so then anyway.
I believe that's the first mention of Sodom or Gomorrah in the Bible?
No.
What are you talking about?
It's not.
Oh, okay.
Sodom and Gomorrah happened back in
we'll get back to you.
Exodus.
Right. We'll get back to you, Rock.
So anyway, they came out and then she, once they were done with her, and it was like the whole night of just raping this girl. And then she is like, can't quite make it back into the door, right? And she falls down, and in the morning he said, get up, let's go. And she didn't answer, so he put her on his donkey, went back to the city, and cut her up into 12 different pieces and sent her to the 12 different cities in Israel. I'm still going. Thank you. Is that not the craziest thing? It's like there's a bunch of that weird stuff. If you want to write a horror movie, just go read the Old Testament.
Right?
Tim.
I got a book I'm reading for you that I'll tell you about at a break.
Okay. Question for TJ, if you're being recruited out of high school to play football and you can go to Alabama and play very sparingly or go to Appalachian State or some obscure small school and play every Saturday 4 years, what do you do? If you're getting recruited by Alabama, there is no way your floor is Appalachian State. I'm sorry, your next where you could play a lot is Appalachian State. If Alabama,
that's too big of a disparity of programs.
You could go to Missouri and play every snap forever.
Okay,
so
what about Missouri and Alabama?
Or even like the American Conference or something like that and be a starter. Yeah.
So what happens at Alabama is you're going to take your chances, but if Alabama wants you, I'm sorry, I'm blanking on his name. Running back?
Jacobs?
Yeah, thank you. Josh Jacobs is a 3-star. Missouri was the first guy to recruit him. He's a 3-star. Alabama wanted him. He chose Alabama, and he was a first-round draft pick. So Alabama has a way of developing guys. And Alabama, if you do not have top-tier potential, the very top, they're not looking at you.
Now, here's the other thing. You're putting logic and goals on that. I'm going to make it even more simple, and it doesn't butt heads with your thoughts. What makes the kid happy?
Mm-hmm.
What makes you happy?
That's right. Oh,
I intend on being a pro. Well, you've got to be the main guy at the smaller program, or be, as you pointed out, be a part of the other one. But what makes you happy? do you really have aspirations to be a pro? Well, be really smart about it. Or you just want to go to college and play right away and play every down. Well, then it's pretty obvious what you do.
That's right. I think the better comparison here would be, would you rather go to Missouri State or walk on at Mizzou? That's where it is. Because if you're a walk-on somewhere, they weren't that interested. You're probably going to ride the bench. Good luck. And Missouri State would be the next. We're like, that's probably the tier player you are.
Yeah.
You could go be a star there. Missouri may not have you play at all. But Missouri was your dream school, right? You're from Missouri. Here's where it is. That would be the better comparison. I would go to Missouri State.
Because you want to play.
I just like football, right? I love Mizzou, but I like football. I want to go play. If I was a D3 guy, I would have still loved playing football. It would have been great. You know, just do what you can.
Yep.
But there are other guys who just love the experience. Like, there are guys that have gone to Notre Dame and passed up unbelievable stuff because they watched Rudy growing up and they're Catholic, and that was the ultimate. I'm just going to go to Notre Dame. I don't care if I play a down. And they wanted that experience. I was never that way, but there are a lot of people that are, and I don't blame them. That's it. You know, Notre Dame, especially 30 years ago, was the top of the top.
And if your goal is, no matter, even if you're not very good, I know this in particular with baseball. Randy Flores from the Cardinals mentioned this to me a couple years ago. If you really want to play baseball in college, you can find somewhere to play. Now, it may be NAIA, the worst NAIA school, meaning you're the worst school program in the country. Hmm. But if you really want to play baseball in college and that's your number one thing, you can find a place to play. Mm-hmm. So it just matters on what makes you happy.
That's right. We will think on this during the breaks. Flashback Deuce. Are lefty pretzels salty, cheesy, or mustardy? We will think on that during the break. It's a hard line.
No one knows.